This is Greg Columbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. Time now for a look at Tuesday's headlines, and we begin with the war on terrorism, specifically in Afghanistan, where the U.S. has captured perhaps the most significant Taliban figure since the dawn of the war on terror more than 8 years ago. U.S. intelligence forces working alongside Pakistani intelligence have now corralled Mullah Abdul Ghani Baradar, the second most powerful figure in the Afghanistan Taliban behind Mullah Muhammad Omar, and perhaps the leading commander for the Taliban ever since the dawn of the war on terror. He is now in custody and reportedly is talking to interrogators. On Tuesday, I spoke with Michigan Congressman Pete Hoekstra, the top Republican on the House Intelligence Committee. He says there's a lot of good information we might be able to get from this captive.
It is a significant capture. I mean, we've taken one of the people out of the hierarchy, out of the Taliban. I think getting actionable intelligence will be difficult, but I hope we can get it. You know, this guy should have the kind of information that would tell you what the intermediate and what the long-term capabilities and objectives of the Taliban are.
Hoekstra says he's concerned that we might not get as much out of this man as we could because of the changed interrogation rules ordered by the Obama administration.
The president has put very, very tight restrictions on what types of interrogation methods can and cannot be used. And so some of the success that we might have been able to use in the past, you know, we may not be able to use those same techniques and those same procedures against this guy. So that will be one of the tests of the new Obama administration.
Well, another issue in the war on terror is the situation involving Iran's nuclear program. Of course, it was highlighted last week during the anniversary celebrations of the Islamic Revolution in that country. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton is in the region this week and has said that she believes it's imperative that the world stop Iran from obtaining a nuclear weapon because she says it would start a very dangerous nuclear arms race in the region. On Tuesday, Iran dismissed Clinton's comments as American propaganda. However, a United States dependence on energy from the Middle East was a major focus of President Obama on Tuesday, saying it's high time United States pursue more domestic energy. And along those lines, he made good on a State of the Union promise that appears to be pleasing most Republicans. The president on Tuesday announcing that the U.S. is about to move forward with the construction of its first nuclear power plant in decades.
Through the Department of Energy and Secretary Chu's leadership, we are announcing roughly $8 billion in loan guarantees to break ground on the first new nuclear plant in our country in three decades.
The president says this plant will be the first of many.
And this is only the beginning. My budget proposes tripling the loan guarantees we provide to help finance safe, clean nuclear facilities. And we'll continue to provide financing for clean energy projects here in Maryland and across America.
The president says not only will we improve our own domestic capability in terms of energy, but we'll be creating important new jobs.
It's a plant that will create thousands of construction jobs in the next few years and some 800 permanent jobs, well-paying permanent jobs, in the years to come.
The president says he realizes there are many in both parties who like this plan and don't like this plan, who like and don't like other aspects of his energy agenda, but he says it's vital that fierce debate not stand in the way of what he calls progress.
Even when we have differences, we cannot allow those differences to prevent us from making progress on an issue that affects our economy, our security, and the future of our planet. We can't keep on being mired in the same old stale debates between the left and the right, between environmentalists and entrepreneurs.
But while Obama promises a robust approach towards nuclear energy, others are not so sure he's heading down the right road, including the vice president for policy at the Institute for Energy Research, Dan Kish.
Well, there's a lot of proof that he isn't, to be honest with you, Greg, from our perspective after looking at it. And principally that on the one hand, he's saying we'll be glad to lend you money for the construction of a power plant. On the other hand, his budget this year does away with the nuclear waste, a repository at Yucca Mountain, which people have been paying for years. It's the government's responsibility under a law going back to the 1980s to take that nuclear waste and put it into one place.
Kish says if the president was really serious about increasing domestic production of energy and creating a whole lot of new jobs, he would lift restrictions on domestic exploration for energy. He says a recent study proves that a whole lot of revenues could be headed towards the U.S. government if the president were to take that step.
Over the next two decades, if the United States does not change its policies and start allowing us to produce energy here at home, we'll lose out on $2.36 trillion and all the jobs that that would create. And that would include things like drilling offshore like every other country does, drilling in Anwar up in Alaska, producing our own energy instead of sending our money abroad to foreign countries.
On to the political scene now, and as you know, the big political news on Monday was that Indiana Democratic Senator Evan Bayh shocked the political establishment by announcing he would not run for a third term later this year. Earlier on Tuesday, I spoke with Indiana Republican Senate candidate John Hostetler, who was in the race even before Bayh stepped aside. He says it's clear that the Democratic leadership in Washington is not leading at all.
We have massive deficits, and when our economy is reeling from unemployment, we are possibly discussing a takeover of America's energy policy to require cap and trade legislation that would cripple our economy and destroy job growth.
Hostetler says from traveling around the state, it appears as though the people of Indiana are frustrated about one thing more than anything else.
What frustrates them most, Greg, is the idea that Washington isn't listening, and the solutions that Washington seems to be coming up with to solve our problems are doing nothing but creating more problems, more unemployment, more debt. And they want someone in Washington, D.C., that understands what the problem is and is willing to make the hard decisions necessary to change things in Washington.
To hear my full interview with former Congressman John Hostetler, now a Senate candidate, as well as my conversation with Congressman Pete Hoekstra, who you heard from just a moment ago, head to worldnetdaily.com or dateline.radioamerica.org. While there, you can also hear my interview with Martin Gross, longtime government waste watchdog and author of National Suicide, about just how deep and scary our debt problem is. Says all the concern over Greece is nothing compared to what we're headed for if we don't change course and change course quickly. Back on the political scene briefly, it appears as though New Jersey Senator Frank Lautenberg will be okay after a health scare in the past couple of days. The 86-year-old New Jersey Democrat fell at his home after fainting from what doctors believe was related to a bleeding ulcer. He's been treated for that in the hospital and is expected to be back on the job shortly. And former Massachusetts governor and 2008 presidential candidate Mitt Romney had a bit of a scare while leaving the Winter Olympic Games in Vancouver on a flight headed to Los Angeles. Before the plane took off in Vancouver, the man sitting in front of his wife Ann leaned back in the chair. When Romney asked the person to lean the chair back forward, the man stood up and took a swing at the former governor. Romney did not retaliate. However, the flight crew directed the plane back to the airport, and the unruly passenger was taken off the flight. That's a look at Tuesday's headlines. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.